Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 9-4 loss at the hands of the Boston Red Sox. Whew, tough one tonight, y'all. I really did not expect a whole lot out of this game. I think I told y'all last night, not a shocking result to me considering what we were working with in terms of the bullpen, in terms of the arms tonight. Just did not surprise me that the Rangers had a tough time keeping runs off the board in this one. Although, a couple of valiant efforts. I think Jose Urania on a maybe different outing where the Rangers bullpen was a little bit more healthy, a little bit more at full strength. I think this would have been a great outing from him. You probably would have pitched this one a little bit differently had the Rangers been at full strength in the pen. But alas, the Rangers pretty much went all out last night, had nobody left. And you had to throw Pennington and Leclerc to finish this one out. Thought maybe the Rangers' bats would come alive against Cutter Crawford. And, of course, in typical 2024 Rangers fashion, Cutter Crawford threw, five perfect innings before the Rangers finally mounted a little bit of a rally. So we're going to break down everything in this one. I think that there are definitely a number of talking points, a number of directions to go. But, of course, first of all, before we get started here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. And I want to say a special thank you for joining us live here for post-game analysis. A lot of different Rangers options, a lot of Rangers content out there. Thank you for choosing Right on Rangers. And we ask, if you're not following the account, you're not subscribed to the channel, please go ahead, hit that follow or subscribe button, hit that notification bell. Stay up to date anytime we go live and keep up with all of our latest and greatest content. Let's get into it. I'll take your comments. If you got things you want to get off your chest, questions you want to throw my way, I'll be happy to take them as the show goes on. Y'all know how it goes. We'll get to the comments in between rants, but I'll check them right now. Say what's up before I get going. We can absolutely not capitalize with runners in scoring position, and I'm going to get into it, but you know, the rally in the sixth inning was great. But all I kind of walked away from that rally thinking is we just cannot get the big hit. We just can't get the big hit. I love that we scored four. That rally could have been easily a 7 or 8 spot. Easily could have been 7 or 8 runs in that inning. But the Rangers just can't get the big hit. They can get a single here and there. They can walk. They just cannot get that hit that busts the game open. It's been a problem all season long. John, what's up, my guy? We're going to talk about Bochy and the bad calls. It really did go both ways. There was a pretty pitiful call there in the bottom of the eighth inning on a pitch about a foot above the strike zone that got called a strike against the Red Sox who were up at the plate. But the Wyatt Langford strike three call in the sixth inning to end that top of the sixth with the bases loaded, leading to the Bruce Bochy ejection. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Well, I feel bad for Wyatt Langford. The guy has gotten more strike three calls on pitches far outside the zone. It has to be up there among the tops in the major leagues how many times he's gotten jobbed on outside, clearly outside strike three calls. It's bad. It's bad. Bruce Bochy gets ejected as a result. We're going to go through that in more depth as well. We definitely could have won this game, I think. I say that so many times. I know I sound like a broken record. This game was there for the taking. I don't know even if the Rangers pull off a bigger rally in the sixth inning if the bullpen holds. Although, as John mentions here, Pennington really didn't look too bad tonight. In fact, had a really good outing. You look at the box score for Walter Pennington, 2 1/3, 1 hit, 4 strikeouts. Easily his best outing, probably for his major league career, definitely with the Rangers. Pennington with the Rangers had not had an outing where he did not allow a run. So good to see Walter Pennington getting on track tonight. It's unfortunate that it was not in a win, but Pennington gave us a shot, kept the game 6-4. And then Leclerc came on. I don't know if really anybody was expecting that to go super well. Leclerc, if this Rangers pitching staff was not so depleted, I was thinking during the game today, what would the Rangers be doing with Jose Leclerc, with a fully healthy bullpen and starting pitching rotation? I don't know. I mean, would they just be navigating this with him? Would they be just riding out this bad stretch that he's in? I'm not so sure they wouldn't be considering DFAing Leclerc at this point. I know that might be harsh, and I don't want to be overly emotional or reactive in a loss like this, but if this bullpen was not depleted, if this pitching staff, the rotation was currently not, you know, was currently at full strength, I really don't know how much of a place there would really be for Jose Leclerc at this point. It's been pretty bad, and tonight there was the very embarrassing pop fly that dropped in between Corey Seager, Josh Jung, and Wyatt Langford. That was embarrassing, but it was just the epitome of the Rangers season. Just guys standing around looking at each other. I don't know. Why can't you get a hit? Why can't you catch this ball? That's just kind of what the Rangers have been doing this year. That ball could have been caught by somebody. So look, Leclerc clearly not getting helped out by the defense in the bottom of that eighth inning, but nevertheless still gave up four hits. I mean, you know, Leclerc has just not been in a good way, and I don't think anybody expected that game to stay at 6-4 going into the bottom of the eighth, but the Rangers had no other choice. There was no other choice there but to have Jose Leclerc come in. You really didn't have anybody else. You could have thrown somebody else, but it would have just potentially risked an injury. And I don't think anybody wants to see that happen in a season like this at this point. I'm going to keep on going. Aaron, again, thank you so much for the comments, my friend. I appreciate you. That Garcia swing always blows my mind. And the chase rate is ridiculous. And Dolly worked the bases loaded walk. I got to say, and I know this is being picky, feel free to argue, disagree with me, but go back to the sixth inning in that Dolly bases loaded walk. Glad he took the walk. Can we talk about the 2-0 pitch that was literally right down the middle? It's 2-0. Dolly gets a 95-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle with the bases loaded and takes. Then quickly gets into a 2-2 count immediately after. Was fortunate to get the walk, in my opinion. And then later on in the game, of course, strikes out on a terrible pitch. Down and away, as Aaron is mentioning. But Dolly not taking advantage of that 2-0 pitch with the bases loaded in the top of the sixth, right down the middle. Another prime example of what has been plaguing the Rangers all season. Wasting opportunities. You get a fastball right down the middle with the bases loaded in a 2-0 count. What are you expecting? I mean, what are you sitting on? 2-0 bases loaded. Do you really think the pitcher is getting cute in that spot, trying to throw off speed? I'm not thinking that. I know that the game has changed, but is anybody really thinking on a 2-0 count with bases loaded? Dolly has not been good this year. It's not like Corey Seager's up there. With Seager up, I could maybe understand an off-speed pitch being thrown. But Adolis Garcia, I know that he has a lot of respect for what he did last year. Was anybody expecting anything but a fastball on 2-0 with the bases loaded? I know I'm getting picky, but that is what I mean by the Rangers wasted an opportunity in the top of that sixth with that rally. I mean, you had a couple of singles, Josh Smith, kind of a blooper single in that top of the sixth inning. You had Marcus Semien with a nice double, Leody with a single on a ground ball up the middle, Carson Kelly, nice line drive. But beyond that, after Corey Seager walks, you get single from Josh Smith, Dolly walk, Nate Lowe walk. Josh Jung, for me, in that spot, Josh Jung has to come through. And we have not gone in on Josh Jung hardly at all this year. But Josh Jung has to come through. And you know what? Hitting a little 80-mile-an-hour line out. I'm sorry. I'm not 80-mile-an-hour line out. That's not a line out. I know that they can't call it anything else, but that was not a complicated play. It was not a hard hit ball. Josh Jung has got to drive in a run there. It's 6-4. You have got the pitcher coming into the game with the bases loaded, Lucas Sims. Boozer did not have it tonight. And Josh Jung has got to get some kind of productive out in that spot. Another thing the Rangers have not done super well this year, playing small ball, producing with runners on base, even just getting productive outs. So for Josh Jung to go 80-mile-an-hour, weak line drive to the shortstop, can't happen. And Josh Jung, a lot of people had a ton of hope and confidence he was going to come back and make a difference. And I almost feel like Josh Jung is just kind of weighed down and negatively influenced by the rest of the lineup at this point. I mean, this lineup has been pretty bad over the past few weeks, month, whatever you want to call it. I almost feel like Josh Jung has just been negatively influenced by this lineup. He's hitting, what, under 250 now, or pretty close to 250? And I know the average was ballooned from when he was first starting out this season and got off to that torrid, that hot start. But Josh Jung, got to come through there, buddy. Got to come through with bases loaded and one out. You've got to score a run there to make it a one-run ball game. So many ways to do it. You're looking for a pitch to drive. And in this case, Josh Jung swinging at a sweeper that's about a foot and a half off the plate. So Josh Jung just not taking advantage of what he was getting. He had a couple of pitches, a cutter, probably the best pitch that he was going to get all at bat, middle out, and fouls it off, or actually takes it for a called strike. It takes a ball and then sweeper, fouls it off, and then swings at the sweeper about a foot and a half off the plate and lines out to the shortstop. Just not good. And then Wyatt Langford, we got to give Wyatt a pass. That was a terrible call. And look, it was definitely closer than some that I've seen Wyatt have to take strike three called on the outside. But that was not a strike. I mean, you look at MLB, you look at the batting zone, you look on the TV broadcast, it wasn't close. And, you know, Bochy gets ejected there. I don't think there's a lot of other options for Bruce Bochy at that moment but to get ejected. But I said in my write-up, it's kind of a ho-hum ejection for me. Did anybody really think that that was going to fire up the team? I mean, that was kind of an obligatory ho-hum ejection, in my opinion. I didn't think anything was going to come as a result of Bochy getting ejected. In fact, you pretty much, I mean, in my mind, it's like, you got to do it. So I'm going to trot out there. Yeah, got to argue it. Okay, yep, he ejected me. I'm not saying Boch gave up tonight, but I am saying that's one of the more meh ejections that you're going to see. I know that he was, you know, fired up, animated in the process, but I don't know. Did anybody really feel like that needed to happen? He could have easily just stayed in the dugout. It wasn't going to make a difference. I know some people love it, want to see it. For me, it's just, you're not going to get anything out of that but get ejected. It's not going to fire up the team. It's not going to make a difference with the offense. I saw it as a very blah ejection, regardless of the animatedness, if you will, of Boch during these arguments. It's kind of like a obligatory thing for him at this point. Wyatt definitely, it was right to be fired up. And if anything, I would have rather seen Wyatt Langford go off on the home plate umpire. I know he's a rookie, and you're not going to see a lot of rookies just go toe-to-toe with the umpires. But I would have much rather seen Wyatt Langford go off and just snap on the umpire and get ejected. I know it's a close game. You don't want to see Wyatt get ejected there. It was still 6-4 at that point. You're trying to win a ball game. I would have much rather seen Wyatt just go off on the umpire. I mean, that's a terrible call. Absolutely terrible call. Can't happen. But I still say the Rangers needed to do a better job taking advantage. The at-bat before, to me, is really the big one. I don't think it's out of left field to assume that it's going to be tough for Wyatt to get a hit in that spot. You're down to your second strike. It's a 2-2 count at that point. 3-2 is a little bit more favorable, but look, I'm not putting blame on Wyatt. He was working the account and he was working the at-bat. But that being said, I don't know if you can say it was probable he was going to get a hit there. I think the Josh Jung AB was the bigger moment. You got to have a run with one out and the bases loaded. You've got to have a productive at-bat. Josh Jung, one of our better hitters, supposedly, on the team. You got to come through there. You just got to come through. I told y'all one thing, and I'm going to keep on rolling here, keep on going through the comments. This is actually an interesting comp. Carbon copy of Juan Gonzalez when people figured him out. It was low and away, and he would chase every time. That is the book on Doley. If he cannot hold off on the low and away pitch 100%, it's not going well for him. Aaron says, I feel like Garcia just wants to be the hero all the time. He needs to just relax and see the ball. I do think there's some pressing up there. It makes a lot of sense. Dolly's had a terrible year. You're going to be pressing at some point. The team is not doing well. I think a lot of our guys are probably pressing up there at this point, feeling like they're not doing their part, which some of them aren't, and wanting the team to win, to succeed, and pressing a little bit up there. I wouldn't surprise me if there were multiple guys that we could assign this description, assign this comment to. Yeah, the inability to score early and the inability to tack on runs in the late innings is tough. I feel like the Rangers can score middle innings. So third, fourth, fifth, you know, it depends on what you consider middle. But I feel like early and late is tough for the Rangers for whatever reason. There was no reason you needed to let Cutter Crawford throw five perfect innings against you. Cutter Crawford, I talked about this on the live, the Boston starter for tonight. Cutter Crawford had allowed five earned runs or more in his last four starts. I mean, this was not a guy that was coming into this game in a groove. Cutter Crawford, the Red Sox starter, had given up at least five earned runs in his past four starts. I mean, this was a guy that I think was totally ripe for just shelling today. And the Rangers just have a knack for either making a really bad pitcher look elite or just helping a pitcher get back in a groove that's not in one. I mean, you just can't make it up. I said to myself, I thought this was going to be a high-scoring game. It ended up being one, but early, I really could not believe, and I know maybe it wasn't a shock to some of you, but I could not believe how badly the Rangers were getting outplayed by Cutter Crawford. At least the Mariners lost. Tristan, that is a positive. The Astros, I think, won, though. So there goes the positive, in my opinion. Astros win, Rangers lose. The Mariners game, I can kind of take or leave at this point, if I'm just being honest. Unfortunate. The Astros getting hot at the exact time that the Rangers can't buy a win. But that's baseball. That's how it goes sometimes. I would like to see, comment says, I'd like to see a little more aggression from Wyatt, but not swinging outside the strike zone. Yeah, I like the eye. I think the eye that Wyatt has is a good one. And I do think that you want to see him keep that. I do think eventually we are going to be going to some kind of electronic strike zone. I don't know how soon it'll be. It was looking like it was going to be like 25, 26. I don't think there's been a lot of talks with the players union at this point, but I'd be really surprised not to see electronic strike zone within the next 3-4 years. It's getting pretty bad with some of these calls, and they're altering games. And this one tonight with Wyatt Langford, it altered the game. If Wyatt gets a base hit, it's a tie game. If Wyatt hits a ball in the gap, the Rangers are potentially winning that game. Home run, obviously the Rangers are up by two. And a lot can happen there. Maybe Wyatt grounds out, strikes out, but when you take the bat out of his hands completely, that's not okay. That definitely cost the Rangers a chance at winning this game. Who knows what could have happened there? I still say Rangers wasted opportunities, just weren't good enough on offense tonight. But of course, that is a huge, huge moment in the game. You can't sweep it under the rug. Baseball Network, what's up? Yep, there goes another series. Six in a row, is it? Is it six in a row now? We beat the White Sox, swept them four in a row. Then lost to the Jays, the Cardinals, lost to the Astros, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and now the Red Sox again. So six in a row, series losses. And you've got a series coming up, a four-game set with the Twins, who are kind of fighting for the playoffs right now. Four-game set. Hard to lose a four-game set. But the Rangers have me worried, even though it is at home where the Rangers do play a lot better. Aaron says, I would change the whole lineup, flip it upside down. What's the worst that could happen? I did tell y'all on the live last night, I really had no sentimental feelings for the old band getting back together, as Bruce Bochy coined it in his little pregame interview. Essentially, you know, they were asking him about the lineup. Hey, what's up with the lineup changes? And, of course, the Rangers pretty much reverted their lineup back to their typical that they've trotted out for a majority of the season. Simeon hitting leadoff, Dolly in the four spot, Josh Smith hitting three hole, of course, Seager's hitting two. But I told y'all last night, I didn't think it was going to make any kind of difference. That lineup, the lineup for tonight, has sucked all season long. And, look, I don't want to be on here just overly negative, just spewing hatred. I never do that anyways. I think y'all know me better than that, some of my long-term listeners. But the Rangers offense right now, this lineup has not been good. You know, I really don't know why they thought it was going to go any better. Just old sentimental nostalgia. Let's just flip it back to 23. See what happens. Honestly, I would have rather them kept the lineup just like they had it with Semien in the three spot. I know that the numbers for Semien in the three spot and Josh Smith in leadoff weren't great, but I just don't feel like that was the move to just revert it back to 2023 or the beginning of 2024 and just cross your fingers. I was talking with my dad last night, another big Rangers fan. We talk baseball all the time. And I just said, you know, this year, Bochy just has not been able to push the right buttons with this team. I think we can say that and not have it be some biased, controversial hot take. Boch has just not been able to push the right buttons with this team. It doesn't mean he needs to be fired. It doesn't mean he's not right for the job anymore, but he has not pushed the right buttons this year, both in a number of different ways. I think managerial decisions in game, which we've talked about, and then also just in the clubhouse, behind the scenes, getting guys out of these slumps, getting guys playing better, which isn't all on him, but he is the head coach. He's got assistant coaches and coordinators and a lot of people underneath him to help him, but he just has not been able to get guys right this year. Hasn't been able to push the right buttons like he did last year. Some of that you can attribute to injuries, but some of that you can attribute to Bochy and just things that he has done or hasn't done this year. I would love Bochy to continue to be the Rangers manager for a long time. I know some Rangers fans want him out. I'm a part of plenty of fan groups on Facebook and other social media apps, and there are definitely some Rangers fans that want Bochy out. I don't know who you're thinking we're going to go out and get that's going to be any better than the guy that brought us our first World Series championship. So for now, let's call it out when the moves that he makes sucks, but let's keep the perspective. Dude is a top five manager in this game. He is going to be, I think, just a shoo-in when he is eligible for the Hall of Fame. I don't know who would vote against him. So I'm not at all saying get rid of Boch, but we just have to have an honest assessment and a real take on how this year has gone. And for all that Bruce Bochy is known for being the puppet master, the bullpen navigator, whatever you want to call it, pushing all the right buttons, pulling all the right strings behind the scenes, it hasn't happened this year. The magic hasn't been there. Whatever expression or figure of speech you want to throw in there, it hasn't been there this year for Boch. Now, there were some people that were questioning the Urania decision, like why. I think the Boston sports announcers were basically questioning, like, why isn't anybody up in the fifth inning with the bases loaded? Why isn't anybody throwing? Well, it's because we didn't have anybody that was any better to come into that spot. I would have rather had Urania face everybody in that fifth inning that he did. I definitely did not want anyone else to come into that game. I don't care that Urania loaded the bases. I said it in my post. I put out, some of you guys know, a reel every day going through my system, betting a cent on Rangers money line, a Rangers win for every follower. It's not going great right now. I still enjoy doing it. But I said Urania had to be an innings eater. Like, he had to eat up some innings tonight. So for anybody wanting Boch to pull the Urania sooner in that inning, who did you want coming in? I didn't want Pennington coming in. I'm glad he had a great game tonight. I didn't want Pennington anywhere near that fifth inning. I didn't want Leclerc anywhere near that fifth inning. There's really nobody else after that. So I don't know who would be really lighting up Bochy over that call. I think the past two nights, the Heaney and Malley pulls in the fifth inning or whatever it was when both of them were kind of in a groove, those definitely I question. Tonight, I don't. I'll keep going here. John says, Adolis got used to being a hero. Probably difficult to be anything else. Yeah, the RBIs and just the machine that he was in the postseason. You know, then Dolly gets injured in the World Series. Still contributed in the World Series, no doubt. Walk-off winner in Game 1. Dolly's always going to be a legend for that. What was his approach this offseason? Only he can answer that. Anything I throw out there would just be me guessing and potentially slanderous. Like, you know, I don't know what his mentality was. Did Dolly go into the offseason not really that hungry, thinking he was all that? Was that his mentality? I don't want to say that it was. with the results, it feels like that is something you could point to, but I can't say that for sure. I will say this. It feels like Doley has regressed, and I think the stats back that up very clearly. There's been a regression this year, and maybe that's something that you could have seen coming. Doley, dealing with some injuries at the end of last year, had his best season of all time last year as well. I mean, I think to think he was going to top what he did last season was probably a little bit foolish. I figured, could we at least just get average version of Doley, mediocre version of Doley, and still have a successful season? I really thought that we could. Doley hasn't not even been average or mediocre this year. He's been downright bad. And that's a big reason why the Rangers are where they are, along with some of the other guys in the lineup as well. You know, Jonah Heim, a guy who's been talked about a lot. He did not start today. Something I didn't talk about last night, just a real quick tangent here. I have no clue why they benched Carson Kelly yesterday. Sometimes during the lives, I get off on all these different points and I can't remember all my thoughts during the games. But last night after I got off, I thought to myself, why did they bench Carson Kelly yesterday? Like, what goes into that thinking? The dude hit a home run and raked three hits against the Yankees on Sunday. So you bench him the next game? That's another Boch move that just leaves me scratching my head. I don't know if any of y'all noticed that as well. Why on earth are you benching a guy that just got three hits and substituting him for Jonah Heim, a guy that has struggled to consistently get a hit in a game over a 3 or 4 game series? I did not understand the Carson Kelly benching yesterday at all. That dude should be getting as many ABs as possible, especially when he's going hot. Had another hit tonight, did strike out a couple of times, but look, I'll take a hit. I'll take one for four from Carson Kelly. Why did they bench him yesterday after a 3-hit game? I do not get it. Don't get it at all. Let me keep going. John says, ready for robo-umps. Same. I've been ready for him. I've seen how the minor league system works. They do have a AAA team, the Aviators. They are the Athletics AAA team. I've seen how the challenge system works. We've talked about it here on the show. I think it's a great, great system. It's quick. It's probably a 10 to 15 second delay. And if you think about the things they've done to speed up the game, I really don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. It's not unlimited challenges. I think that robo-umps are coming one day, but I think in the meantime, you at least have to implement the challenge system. At least implement that system. And why the players aren't at the table demanding that, I don't know. I know pitchers probably aren't too fond of it, but I think they will be, actually. I mean, I know that pitchers love having the bigger zone, but I think the pitchers are going to like it when they get squeezed and it's an obvious strike three and the umpire calls ball, you get to challenge it. And then you get out of the inning. So I think at least you got to go to the challenge system. I don't think they're going to go full-blown robo-ump like within the next couple of years. I could see the challenge system being implemented for sure, balls and strikes. Absolutely. So by the way, for anybody that is unfamiliar, the challenge system in AAA been around for a while. Actually, I think probably 3-4 years, something like that. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I feel like for the challenge system down there, it's been pretty effective. I think a lot of people like it. And as I said, if you've gone to a AAA game, I really do think you'll see the same way I do. It really doesn't slow down the game. And it actually, I think, is really, really helpful, especially in these big moments, right? So the moment tonight with Wyatt Langford, you have a challenge, that's clearly going to get called a ball and the at-bat continues. So the challenge system, I think each team gets 3 unsuccessful challenges per game, something like that. Successful challenges don't count toward that total. So all challenges have to be made within 2 seconds of the call. So you don't have time to like examine it. It kind of has to be catcher, pitcher feel or batter feel. And you really have to just trust it. And you get up to 3 unsuccessful challenges. So I like that system. I would really love to see them do something like that in the major leagues before they go full-blown robo-ump. Rangers, 10 games below 500. I always said to y'all, when they get 10 games below, I really do feel like season over in terms of playoffs. And I do feel that way today. I know that mathematically they could still go on an epic run and make it. But I always have said, 10 games under 500. I'm changing my tune. And I think you guys are going to see me enjoy every game as much as I can. It's hard to enjoy games like this, but try and find the positives in every game. Start looking ahead till 2025 a little bit. But I've always said when the Rangers dip 10 games below 500, I was saying this back in like June. But now we're in August and the Rangers are 10 games under. Yeah, guys, we need to start lowering the expectations all the way to the basement floor and start looking at 2025. If the Rangers miraculously get into the playoffs, everybody that said they were making it, no doubt, can have a big party for themselves and pat themselves on the back. I'm not going to sit here and proclaim anything crazy, but it's not likely. And so we're going to start to shift a little bit towards focusing on individual performances, seeing how things shape up for next year. We're still going to bring you great post-game analysis, take all your comments, questions, but I think it's fair that we start letting go a little bit of the playoff hopes and locking in a little bit more on seeing how individual players finish out this season and how that's going to shape 2025. Still, I think a lot of good stuff come in the rest of the year. DeGrom hopefully coming back, making his debut. I think that's going to be awesome. I think Evo coming back. We'll see if Max Scherzer has a few starts left in the tank for the Rangers. Probably his last year, definitely. I think his last year as a Ranger. I think there's still some cool moments that are yet to come along the way. It just sucks that the Rangers, in an opportunity that they had to still make the playoffs right around the All-Star break, just really soiled the bed down the stretch. Came out of the All-Star break very, very cold. Losing six of seven series, something like that. Just not great. They had their chance. It didn't work out. And I think it's time to start framing things in the context of 2025 a little bit more. Let me keep going here. Do you think the Simi Adolis collision in right field was worse than they let on? When did that happen? I mean, I remember the play. Was that in May? When did that collision happen? John, I don't know if you're still hanging out, but when was that? That felt like maybe second, third month, like early June at the latest. Feels like maybe that was in early May, but I don't know for sure. I don't know if that was something that was altering for the season. I do know Adolis was hitting a lot better before that moment happened. Nevertheless, I find it hard to believe that it all goes back to that. I mean, I think that might be oversimplifying it a little bit. Am I saying no, it's impossible? I don't know if I would go that far. Maybe it is still some kind of effect, some kind of negative impact, but feels like that would be a pretty big deal causing all of this suck, for lack of a better expression. Like, it's been pretty bad for Marcus and for Dolly. That is something that they have in common, that collision. But I just feel like Adolis, by and large, just the discipline at the plate vision, it hasn't been there this year. And I think that does go beyond any kind of potential injury. I think I've said this on the show before. Let's just play devil's advocate. Dolly's playing hurt right now. Let's just say that and assume it for the sake of this conversation right now. Again, even if you're hurt, you can still have a good eye up at the plate. You don't have to swing at pitches that are 3 feet outside the strike zone. I mean, that is probably my biggest counter argument to anybody that would say, you know, Dolly's hurt and that's the reason why it's been so bad. Now, if he was seeing the ball well, but wasn't really getting a lot of strong contact, hard contact, and, you know, the hits just weren't coming, but he was seeing the ball great, I might feel differently. He just looks kind of like a mess up there with his approach, and I find it hard to attribute all of that to injury. With Marcus, I don't know. Marcus does not take a lot of walks. This year he hasn't. He's a very aggressive player. I do think the Rangers need to evaluate the leadoff spot for next year. I would really like to see somebody else take over that position. I just think Marcus is better suited to hit in the middle of the lineup, whether that's third, whether that's fifth. I think Marcus at this point in his career should probably start a transition toward middle of the order. I think Marcus is too aggressive as a leadoff hitter. I think you want your leadoff hitter to be a guy that takes walks and gets on base with a lot of frequency. Marcus Simeon this year, the OBP is at 314. That's just not what you need out of a leadoff hitter. I know a lot of us love Simi in that spot, and that's really all we've known with him in a Rangers uniform, but you just can't have your leadoff hitter with a 314 OBP. You could take the 240 average that he's sporting right now if he had a 350 OBP, 360, 70. But when you've got a 314 OBP and your batting average is below 250 and you're the leadoff hitter, that is not going to help your team be successful. So I think the Rangers would be wise to at least look into what can we do about the leadoff spot next year? Are we going full-blown Josh Smith and just having him adopt that mentality? Are we looking elsewhere? Are we looking somewhere else? Are we going to try a Evan Carter or Wyatt Langford type? I mean, I don't want to make this comp, so I know this is going to sound maybe a little bit crazy off the cuff, but I think early Mike Trout, Wyatt Langford, some similarities, not the results, but the body type. Wyatt Langford's a tank. Mike Trout was an absolute tank in the early 2010s. The power, the speed. Obviously, Mike Trout, way better than Wyatt Langford, and his first couple of seasons were incredible. But Mike Trout was a leadoff hitter for a long time, even when he was absolutely crushing the baseball. Is Wyatt Langford a guy that you could maybe develop into a leadoff hitter? I don't know. I like Wyatt Langford's eye. I think he has actually a really great eye. I think he would probably have a lot more walks if he wasn't getting rung up on pitches that were a foot outside the zone. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think they need to evaluate the leadoff spot and make a decision. Are we going to keep trotting Simi out there? Understanding it's very possible he's going to do something very similar to what he did this year. Simeon's not getting any younger. I'm not saying he's washed. I am saying, is he the guy that you want leading off for this team? And is there no other better option? Let me keep going here. If you told me last year the Rangers won the World Series, I wouldn't have believed you this year. It's been a huge disappointment this year. They don't look like a championship team. Agreed. Who could deny that? I think there's some fans that might get butthurt at a statement like this. Who could deny that, though? I mean, look, if you woke up from a year and a half long coma and you just watched this year's Rangers, you just watched like tonight's game after waking up from a year and a half coma, would anybody believe that this team, this almost exact same team, won the World Series? I mean, I don't know. I really don't think that this is that hot of a take, but I see people getting very sensitive to Rangers fans making comments like this. But I totally agree. Nobody would believe that this exact team won the World Series last year if you never watched the 2023 season and didn't know any better who won the championship. I don't know. I think we'll see. This comment says, I think we'll see more power from Wyatt next year, maybe not his full ceiling. We'll see again. Put everything on the table. Could Wyatt Langford be a leadoff hitter? A guy that can take walks, provide you a little pop at the top of the order. I love the speed. I don't think anybody can deny Wyatt Langford's speed would potentially make him worthy of the leadoff spot. Is he more valuable in the 3, 4, 5? Possibly. But remember, Mike Trout hit leadoff for years with the Angels before they moved him down in the order. I don't mind Wyatt hitting up higher in the order. I'm not saying it needs to happen this year, but I think the Rangers have some decisions to make about the leadoff spot, about the top of the order, and what they want to do. Now, let me keep going. Finally caught up with comments. I know I've neglected TikTok and Instagram a little bit. I'll scroll through and see if we missed anything major. Doesn't look like it, so I think we're good. I think we'll keep on rolling here. And Instagram, how much of an impact, 214 Joe says, how much of an impact does missing Evan Carter have? Honestly, based on this year, I don't think a whole lot. I don't think Evan Carter's lack of bat in the lineup right now is really hurting the team or affecting them that much. Evan Carter was hitting below 200, I believe, before he got injured. Now, the Evan Carter from last year, I think the Evan Carter from last year is very much missed. In fact, I think the reason why the Rangers at the top of the order struggled this year was because of Evan Carter's absence and lack of being the same guy that he was last year for us. So we had just a lot of different things, y'all. Jonah Heim regression, Adolis Garcia regression, Evan Carter, I would say a little bit of a regression, unless you totally want to chalk up Evan Carter's struggles to the back issues, which I think might be a fair point. Maybe we can chalk up all of Evan Carter's issues to the back injury. I do think that that is a valid point. We'll see what happens. We'll see if he comes back totally healthy and has a great 2025. I think they'd love for a guy like Evan Carter to be at the top of the order leading off. I think that would be very, very ideal. In fact, this might be crazy to some Rangers fans, but I really wouldn't mind seeing if these guys continue to develop on an upward trajectory. I really wouldn't mind seeing a lineup like Evan Carter lead off, Wyatt Langford 2, Corey Seager 3. I really wouldn't mind something like that. I know a lot of people love Siegs in the 2 spot. I would not mind seeing both of those guys if they can continue to stay on an upward plane, improving, getting better. I think that would be great. You get those speed demons on the bases, and then you get Corey Seager coming up in the 3-hole with guys on base. I think that could be a dangerous combination there. We'll see what they decide to do. I'm very curious what CY has got up his sleeve for the offseason, who the Rangers might acquire. Don't know if the owners are going to be loosening up the purse strings at all. I think it's maybe a 50-50 shot. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's keep going here. BD, what's up? Thanks for the comment. I really think if DeGrom was healthy, reading this comment here, y'all, that one ace makes a difference. But injuries throughout the season has hurt the Rangers' offense and pitching. No doubt. I do think a full season of DeGrom, you definitely have a number of more wins. That being said, I made this joke when we were playing the Mets, and I've made it a couple different times since. I think DeGrom, it would have been New York Mets part 2 for him this year with the Rangers. I think DeGrom would have been giving you dominant outings, 6 innings, 7 innings, 1 earned run, no earned runs, and getting 0 run support. I think DeGrom would have looked a lot like he did with the New York Mets a few years ago when he was winning Cy Youngs with a losing record. You all remember that? DeGrom was like losing record, but had like a 2.2 ERA and just got no run support. I do kind of fear that DeGrom would have fallen victim to that, much like Andrew Heaney and a lot of other Rangers pitchers. So I do want to agree with this, BD. I really do. The negative, pessimistic part of me after a game like this says DeGrom would be going 7 strong, giving up 1 earned run, but we'd have a big old goose egg, not giving him any run support this year, just the way it's gone. I don't know. Maybe just having DeGrom back and active would make a difference and inject some life. I think getting him back is going to be a boost for this clubhouse. I think Jacob DeGrom is very well respected and very well liked in that clubhouse. And it does make a difference when those guys are healthy and actually in the battle with you, in the trenches with you. We'll see. I hope DeGrom can come back, have some good outings, build off of those heading into the offseason and into 2025. Let me keep going here. Got a few other things I think we can talk about before we preview the matchup for tomorrow. So we've got in the box score today a few different items I think to point out. 2-for-6 with runners in scoring position. Honestly, not bad. 5 left on base. We did have Wyatt Langford, 2 runners left in scoring position with 2 outs. That's the bogus strike 3 call, though. Seager did have a runner left in scoring position with 2 outs. Corey did go 0-for today, did have 1 walk. So, look, Seegs did miss out on an opportunity with runners in scoring position, 2 out, unfortunately, today. Simi, 1-for-4 with an RBI. Nice double. Smith, 1-for-4. Doley, 0-for-3. With a walk, did have an RBI as well. Nate Lowe, 1-for-3 with the walk. Good day for him. Josh Young, 0-for-4. Wyatt Langford, 0-for-4. Kelly, 1-for-4. Leody, 2-for-4. I think Leody going 2-for-4 is a great sign. Anytime he's on base multiple times in a game, you got to be overjoyed. Again, don't understand the Carson Kelly benching yesterday, fresh off a 3-hit game on Sunday against the Yankees, along with hitting a home run that almost sparked a comeback. But I know that they're probably having to navigate the Jonah Heim waters, a guy that led the pitching staff to a World Series. Rangers have had to make some uncomfortable decisions this year with some of those old faithfuls that won us the World Series. I'm sure it's not easy conversations to have, but if you're Heim, if you're Doley, getting moved down in the lineup, getting benched here and there, you don't really have a lot of legs to stand on with how bad the numbers are for some of these guys. But I think Carson Kelly needs to get some more at-bats. I hope he does. Hope he does. We talked about Pennington, the great performance he had tonight. Leclerc just looks lost right now. I think he would be a very strong DFA candidate if we were not completely limping to the finish line with the pitching staff and bullpen right now. I think Leclerc would very, very much be a candidate for a DFA. And I think with September call-ups looming, I'm interested to see what they decide about some of our relievers that we have currently, like a Leclerc. I mean, at that point, don't you want in September to allow some minor leaguers to get some opportunities, maybe use Leclerc a little bit less? That would be my two cents. That's what I would like to see happen at this point. Yeah, injuries do happen, but I agree. Aaron, by the way, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you. Yeah, injuries happen. I don't think you can blame injuries on how bad it's been. So I agree 100%, Aaron. You cannot just blame the injuries this year. I don't give the Rangers a free pass because of the injuries. I think at the beginning of the year was something you could point to for why they weren't running away with the division, but I don't think it's something you can point to for why they are this bad offensively. The regressions are really what you have to point to. Jonah Heim, Adolis Garcia, Evan Carter, though perhaps we can attribute his to the injuries, to the back injury. And then, of course, you've got a couple other guys. Marcus Semien, underperforming, I think, by his standards. I think if you ask Marcus, the numbers are not terrible by any means, but I think the numbers are below his standards and below what the money that he's making, what those standards are. Marcus is getting handsomely paid, and I think for the money he's making, 240 average, 314 OBP, I think Marcus has got to be a little bit better. And like I said, I wonder if they will consider potentially another alternative for the leadoff spot next year. I don't know if you want to continue to trot Marcus out there, 240 average leadoff hitter, 314 OBP leadoff hitter. Just not going to work. Marcus, by the way, the walks on the year. So this year, Marcus, 50 walks. Not a great number for a leadoff guy. I think a great leadoff hitter, and we'll see if he gets to this mark, but you want your leadoff hitter drawing close to 80, 90, 100 walks a year, if possible. And just not there with the numbers and the OBP for Marcus. We'll see what happens with him. Let me keep going here. Yeah, Leclerc, I agree with you, Aaron. I don't think that they're going to re-sign him. He's had his moments. We joke on the show, LeClutch. He's had his LeClutch moments this year. But down the stretch, it has not been clutch at all. In fact, he has been LeClutch for the other team more often than not. I can't say that's my material, by the way. But LeClutch has not been there this year for us down the stretch when we most needed him to be. And I don't think he's going to get re-signed either. Like I said, I think he'd be a strong DFA candidate if we weren't completely bare cupboards right now in the bullpen and in the starting rotation. Agreed there for sure. Pennington, I hope this is the start of something good for him. I love this. I love the swing and miss, 4 Ks in 2 innings, no walks, great inning. Great work from him. Hopefully he can build off this. I think he's going to be needed down the stretch with all these injuries. Now for the game tomorrow, let's start wrapping things up here. For the game tomorrow, we have got, I don't think a starter announced yet. Aaron, you might know, any starter announced yet? I'm going to look it up right now. I doubt that we're going to find anything on MLB.com here. Tomorrow's game, by the way, a little surprising. I was very shocked that tomorrow is not a day game. With the Rangers not getting an off day on Thursday, really surprised that the Rangers are playing a night game. 5:10 Texas time start, 3:10 out here for me in Vegas. So with the Rangers going back home tomorrow, having to travel, playing the Twins, really surprising they're not making this a day game. Don't know what the mentality was there, but no starter announced for tomorrow for the Rangers as of now on MLB. And Houck is going to be going for Boston. Rangers did manage to hit around Houck a little bit. I think Leody had a nice home run off of Houck, if I'm not mistaken, in the game that they played a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see what happens. But let's go to the numbers here, Rangers against Houck. So Duran, 2-for-3 with an RBI. Garcia, 2-for-5 with a bomb. Jonah Heim, 2-for-5 with a bomb. Josh Young, 1-for-5. Carson Kelly, 0-for-2. Nate Lowe, 0-for. Corey Seager, 0-for as well. Both 6 at-bats against Houck, no hits. Marcus Semien, 2-for-11, 182 average lifetime against Houck. Josh Smith, 1-for-3, and Leody Taveras, 1-for-1 with the home run, as we just said. So there are some guys with some good numbers. Dolly, Duran, maybe we'll see Duran tomorrow, I don't know. could be one of those days where the Rangers look to maybe give some guys some rest. It wouldn't shock me if we see a couple of starters get a day with really what, about 8 games before an off day. Rangers don't have an off day until a week from Thursday. So I would not be surprised to see maybe some guys get the day off tomorrow. We shall see what happens. But Tanner Houck going for the Red Sox tomorrow. Rangers starter to be determined. I think Dunning is probably going to be the guy if I had to guess. Although I did see that he was warming up today and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Dane Dunning is like one of the only guys that you could maybe start tomorrow. So I think maybe we'll see Dunning open things up and maybe they'll just do the piecemeal thing. But I think Dunning probably gets the start if I had to guess. We'll see what happens later tonight or early tomorrow as they announce a starter, though. So Aaron says that as well. So Aaron, you beat me to it. Predicting Dunning. I think that that's probably a likely move, just considering where the Rangers bullpen is at right now. I don't know. Maybe we see some kind of weird option and call up. Beats me. But I think Dunning probably for now, and then you piece it together from there and you just see what you can do. We'll go ahead and we will look at headlines around the league. I saw Juan Soto, and that dude is hot right now. 3 homer game against the White Sox. My goodness. So Juan Soto on fire right now. Bottom of the 9th, though, Yankees are up 4-1, but the White Sox have the bases loaded. So that one, not quite final yet. Seattle gets waxed by Detroit 15-1. Houston, I believe, hangs on. One-run game last time I checked, and it looks like, yes, they do beat the Rays 3-2 in Tampa. Houston improves to 64-55 on the year. Kikuchi, man, Kikuchi wins again, 3-0 as a Houston Astro. So that move is looking like it's paying some dividends right now for the Stros. Even though they gave up an awful lot to get him, the move is paying dividends right now. Looks like Jazz Chisholm is going to be going to the IL for the Yankees, so surgery possible. UCL injury. Man, you know what? I don't love the Yankees, but that sucks. I'm not a big Yankees fan by any means, but you just trade for Jazz Chisholm, and now he's got a UCL injury. Oh, that hurts. That hurts if you're a Yankees fan. Beyond that, I don't think there's a whole lot else going. Looks like the Twins got a win tonight, and they beat the Kansas City Royals. Tight matchup in the AL Central right now. Royals at 65-55, Twins at 67-52, and we will be facing the Twins on Thursday for a 4-game set in Arlington. Twins right now on a 2-game win streak. That's going to be a tough series. Twins are fighting for the playoff positioning right now. You know they're not going to be taking it easy on the Rangers. So we'll see here. Aaron says, don't skip over that Seattle game. All right, let's dig into it. 3 2/3 innings pitched for George, and he gave up 11 runs. Oh, my goodness. I guess, honestly, when I see the Astros one, I'm just like, you know, the Mariners, doesn't make me feel that much better. 20 hits, though, for the Tigers. Wow. Let's check this out. So Kirby gives up 11 runs, 6 earned. So must have been some errors. Let's check on our boy Mitch Garver. Mitch Garver, 167 batting average. I don't take any joy in that, y'all, by the way. So I'm not bringing up his name to rub it in. Mitch Garver, 167 batting average. Ugh, man, I know we weren't going to re-sign him. It was the penny-pinching offseason, but feel bad for the guy. Been a while, I think, since he's hit a home run as well. Maybe not. It looks like he hasn't hit a homer since July 7th. So been over a month without a homer for Mitch. Man, feel bad for the guy. Feel bad for him. Hope he can have a little bit of a rebound down the stretch here. And not at the expense of the Rangers, of course, but 15-1 final score. 20 hits for the Tigers. Yikes. My goodness. Looks like several people got lit up. Thornton, Taylor out in the bullpen. Scooble was pitching for the Tigers, so that makes sense. 14-4 on the year. Likely Cy Young Award winner in the AL. All right, then. Yeah, I do agree with Aaron. Why can't George Kirby do that when he's playing the Rangers? And why does Cutter Crawford have to throw five innings of perfect baseball against us? Why do we have to allow the most mediocre pitchers that are on a terrible stretch of games? I think Cutter Crawford, I think I told y'all, had allowed 22 runs in his past four starts combined. Why do we allow a guy like that to throw five perfect innings against us? John says, it's like everyone that played for us in the World Series is cursed this year. Going back to the Mitch Garver comment point I was making. 167 for Mitch, total regression year for him. I mean, Mitch last year was incredibly clutch for us down the stretch. Looks like they're trying to work him back in at catcher a little bit, kind of like we did. Y'all remember last year with Mitch? He was DHing at the beginning of the year, wasn't really finding his groove. Then we tried to throw him in at catcher, and he hit like over 300 as a catcher for a while. So last year, by the way, career numbers, Garver was a 270 hitter last year for us. 270 hitter. I think it just goes back to my point that I made earlier. In the 2023 season, the Rangers just had so many guys have career years. And that is what you need to win a World Series. You've got to have guys having incredible seasons, and you've got to get hot as a team at the right time. But the Rangers just had so many guys that, look, I don't want to say are never going to have as good of a year as what they had in 2023, but I think the majority of the guys on our team very well may not ever have a better year than they did in 2023. Dolly's never going to top what he did in 2023. He's not going to break his own RBI record in the postseason ever again. I don't think there's a lot of players on this Rangers team right now that are going to be able to top what they did last year. Jonah Heim, I don't think Jonah Heim's ever getting over 95 RBI again in a season. I would love to be wrong. I just don't think it's going to happen. So Garver hitting 270 last year and now hitting a full 100 points below what he did last year. It's tough, and it's going for a lot of Rangers. We're going for a lot of Rangers this year. Jacob's family, what's up, man? You called the blowout today. I didn't want to be right. I surely didn't want to be right, but I did say last night, I'm not going to be shocked if the Rangers don't win this game. I said the only way we're going to win is if the bats can come to life and kind of go early 2000s Rangers mode and just outslug the Red Sox. And that's not what the Rangers have been able to do this year. So I was not saying that confidently, but unfortunately, yes, Rangers, no pitchers today. I thought there were going to be a lot of runs scored today, and there were. Thought the Rangers might be able to get a few more across against Cutter Crawford. Was not meant to be. Unfortunate. Didn't want to be right, but alas, I was. Well, all right, y'all. Tomorrow, we are going to be on probably a little bit earlier, because the game starts about an hour earlier. Hopefully we can salvage a win in the series. Dane Dunning may be on the hill tomorrow. We'll see. I do want to say a special thank you to all you guys, regardless of the wins and losses, right? These are some tough losses, but I appreciate all y'all that are hanging out right now. Some of y'all are faithful Rangers fans, dedicated just like myself, and you don't know how much I appreciate that. Thank you for the support. Appreciate the kind comments as well. Thank you, Jacob's family. Appreciate you. That does mean a lot. Look, the reason I started this, I just wanted a place to be able to talk Rangers baseball with people, and you guys have provided that for me, and so truly, I am grateful. If you're watching right now, whether you're live with me now or on the replay, you're not following the channel, not subscribed, please do so. Keep up to date every time we go live. We're here after every Rangers game, rain or shine, win or loss, as tough as it is sometimes to get on here, y'all, because I am just in my feelings, frustrated as I'll get out at some of the results of these games. I always feel a little bit better after I get on and get it all out and talk through it with you guys. So look, I appreciate you, seriously. But hey, if you know somebody that loves the Rangers, you know somebody that's a big baseball fan, I'd love if you would tell them about my channel. Tell them about Right on Rangers. Share a video with them. I would be very, very grateful. Hope y'all have a great rest of your Tuesday. Let's hope the Rangers can get a game tomorrow, get on a flight back to Arlington, and win some games for the home crowd. That's got to be the plan. I hope you guys have a great rest of your night and a good week ahead. Hope to see you on the live at some point this week, if not tomorrow, maybe on Thursday or Friday for the Twin Series. As I always say to end every show, God bless. Go Rangers. Have a good one.